Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable panel for this Friday, the 9th of June. A delight to have you all with us on what turns out to be a very nice pre-summer day, and we are very happy that you are sharing a portion of it with us this morning. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Let me introduce our panelists to you, and then we'll get right into the news of the day, and there is a lot. So we've got a lot to talk about, and we'll get right to that. First, we welcome WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, dear friends.
Very nice to have you with us. Also, we welcome author and activist Barbara Smith. Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
I'm great. I'm getting a wonderful award tomorrow down in New York City.
Oh, for what?
There's an African-American policy forum at Columbia University. It's celebrating its 20th anniversary, and I'm getting the Lifetime Achievement Harriet Tubman Award.
Wow.
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 That's fantastic.
Very nice.
And Congressmember Keith Ellison and Eve Ensler, who started the Vagina Monologues, and Joy Reid of MSNBC will also be honored.
Oh, that'd be great. So that'll be, you see, we get to hang out with some pretty cool folks. Yeah, that's very nice. Well, congratulations.
Thank
very
you.
Good.
That's
thank
fantastic.
You. Thank you.
We'll follow that, Teresa Bourgeois.
Well, I was just going to say how excited I was at the St. Basil's Greek Festival this weekend, and I get spanakopita, so I got nothing compared to you.
Actually, you got something.
That's good. That's not bad.
Me, it's spanakopita and baklava. You, it's, you know, great awards. But real, that's fantastic.
Thank
congratulations.
You.
Congratulations.
That is quite an honor. Quite an honor.
Wow. Well, good morning and welcome. So let us talk about what is happening. Former FBI Director James Comey on Thursday used a dramatic appearance before a national audience to sharply criticize the character of the president, accusing Trump of firing him over the Russia investigation and then misleading the public about the reasons of the dismissal. Trump and his team, Comey said, told lies, plain and simple, about him and the FBI in an effort to cover up the real reason for his sudden sacking last month. Comey said that after one particularly odd private moment with the president, he feared Trump might lie about the conversation, prompting him to begin taking careful notes after each encounter. Comey revealed that after he was fired, he leaked notes on his interactions with Trump to the media, hoping that sharing the information would prompt the appointment of a special counsel, which it indeed did do. And the president's reaction to that was on Twitter this morning, where after all of what Mr. Comey said, that it was clear that he was totally vindicated, which was certainly what I got out of it.
What'd you get out of it? You think you were being funny?
He said, despite so many false statements and lies, total and complete vindication, and wow, Comey's a leaker. Wow, Comey's a leaker. And then he says, great reporting by Fox and Friends and so many others. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Back
thank you.
Tweeting.
Okay, Alan, so what do you make of it? How do you think Comey did on the floor yesterday?
Well, I think, frankly, he was brilliant. I thought he was conversational. I thought he was believable. And I think he's a bit of a hero, to be honest with you. He has stood up to the most awesome power that is in the world. A president who has basically, disrupted everything and made himself into a bit of a laughingstock. So no matter what the so-called fellow travelers at Fox have to say about this, pardon me, it does seem clear that Comey comes out on top. Now, you know, here's what's interesting. You go to Fox and you find out that they think, Trump is a leaker. But if you go to the New York Times, the best newspaper in the world, boy, they're not taking any prisoners here. They make it clear that Comey comes out on top of this. And now there's going to be that question as to whether there are tapes or not. And seems to me that's deja vu all over again, if you think about it, because it was only after the tapes became clear that Nixon's fate was sealed. And if there are tapes, it's going to be very interesting to see what's on them. And I suspect what Comey told us very carefully is going to turn out to be correct.
It seems to me, I mean, he said, oh, Lordy, I hope there's tapes, I believe was his quote.
Yes, that's his quote.
I can't, that whole thing seemed bogus to me from the very beginning when the president said, you know, he better hope that there's not tapes. Never really saying there were tapes, the White House has not said it. It seemed like just kind of a bluff, didn't it? I mean, should we take it seriously?
No, I think it wasn't the bluff. I think he knew there were tapes. I think there are tapes. Mm. I think he knew there were tapes. And he had them, and the other guy didn't, but he forgot Nixonianism. And he forgot what happened to Nixon when the Congress started asking for those tapes. I've said it all along. I'm going to say it again. As his numbers go down, Trump's numbers go down, as they have been, as his numbers go down, the Republicans in the Congress are going to be trying to save themselves. And that's when you'll see some exemplary behavior on the part of some Republicans, like we saw during the Nixon times.
Teresa.
Well, I thought it was the ultimate exit interview. You know, none better than that one. And I do think he did a great job. And I also think the Republicans did an interesting job. But it really struck me that there's been this attempt, I think, to almost normalize Trump's behavior or explain it away or tolerate it. Or
he's new. He's naive. Excuses, right? He's a neophyte. Yeah.
But even over time, not just with this, but over time. And I think what Comey did in through both what he described yesterday about what he did in his interactions with Donald Trump is say, you know, for me, it's for the first time in a long time, he said, this is not normal behavior. This is not presidential. It's potentially not legal. And from the first meeting he had with him, he understood that it was different and he had to take notes. And I think that it will take time over time, but it reinforces that this is not normal presidential behavior and potentially illegal behavior. Now, I thought with the Senate Republicans, it was interesting, and I read that the White House talking points and the RNC talking points were all about discrediting Comey. And the Republican senators, for the most part, did not do that. They did not attack Comey personally. What they did is to try to use their line of questioning to almost soften or excuse what Trump did.
You're right.
And I think that it really showed that they're in this for real, that they took this seriously.
Is it mean of me to ask this question or to bring it up? Maybe not mean is the word, but maybe not appropriate. But what the hell with John McCain? Is he okay?
I was just going to raise that with you guys. The Times took great notice of it this morning. He apparently has felt the need to sort of justify his so-called inarticulateness to try to put a better face on it. But everybody was talking about McCain, because when Teresa just said the Republicans, and I'm going to put in with the exception of John McCain, were dignified, they were fair, it was not true with McCain, who seemed to want a false equivalency, if you look at it that way, between Hillary's, stuff and on the web and or on her emails. It's just extraordinary that he tried to do that. And one wondered who was pulling the strings.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Alan, I may be wrong on this, but I watched it twice. He just didn't seem well. It seemed like something. It seemed like he was off. His office put out a statement later saying he was over. You know, basically he said he was too tired, and this is what he was really trying to understand. But it was the questions were so confused that, you know, as some people are noting, he's 80 years old. He's a POW. He has good days and not so good days. And I think yesterday was just one of his not so good days. And I listened to a little bit of commentary, and the reporters who've been around for a long time, I noted a number of them just were almost apologizing for him, saying, you know, sometimes he doesn't have good days, and this is one of them.
That's a known phenomenon.
Sometimes he doesn't have. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was my experience when I was working in the Senate.
Oh, really?
He was a POW. He was, you know, tortured for years. And sometimes he doesn't have great days, and he didn't have one yesterday. So even though, you know, initially you say, what's he doing about this? I think he was just having a bad day.
I have to
and
say.
Yet, when and, I w- and yet, if I just do one thing here, and yet if we would expect, based on his past behavior, one guy to emerge as a potential hero here,
right,
it would be McCain.
Absolutely.
Right.
I thought Susan Collins among the Republicans. And the person that I thought was so shameful, actually, among the senators was Senator Cotton. Because if you, you know, he really pushed about the time. If you go back and listen to, as I did yesterday, what he said about the situation with Bill Clinton talking on the tarmac with
Loretta Lynch.
Yeah.
He just was on and on and on skewering them for that, and yesterday making excuses for Trump.
So after what we got to hear on the radio, they went into private session, closed session. And you got to wonder what came out of
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, as a number of the New York Times economists, other noted that if you want to know, understand, or anticipate where this is going, just listen to which questions Comey would not answer.
Yes. That's something that I think Rachel Maddow.
For example.
Which Rachel Maddow did yesterday. She played every clip of when he said, I can't answer that. I can't answer that. I can't answer that. So that was interesting.
Could you guys remind everybody of what those questions were, Teresa or Barbara?
Sort of directly about the collusion, correct?
Right. The collusion, the contents of some of the conversations he had with Trump, particularly the one that struck me was about the dossier. And are there any details in that dossier that we need to be, you know, mindful of? But mostly about collusion.
I'm sorry for being the representative of the peoples here who, like me, may not remember what the dossier is.
Oh, I'm sorry. That the first meeting that Comey had with Trump was in the Trump Tower, because there was this so-called, what they call the dossier, this packet of information that the British intelligence officer had been paid by somebody or a group of people to gather information on some, you know.
Can I just remind, here's the easiest way to remind people, the pee-pee tapes.
Okay. So I was trying to avoid that, but yeah.
Yes.
Those tapes.
The Russian.
Bodily functions.
Yes.
And that prompted the phone call that this is the one that I find astounding, where Trump at one point called Comey and said, you know, I didn't do anything wrong and I wasn't involved with Russian hookers. I'm just the notion that a president, or was he a president at the time? I think it was president.
Oh, yeah.
Call up the head of the FBI and say, you know, I'm innocent and I wasn't involved with Russian hookers. Well, oh, my God, what have we come to?
Well, Malcolm Nance was on last night, and he was saying that of all the things that Trump was focused on, he said, and I don't know what all the other things that might be in the dossier. I assume the financial, you know, kind of arrangements with the Russians, also the tampering with the election. He said all that stuff, Trump was not focused on that. He was only concerned about the hookers. And he said very humorously, he said, if I were him, I would deny everything else and say, yeah, the hookers, yes
the hookers.
I did do
not
that.
Not everything else, just to the
That's
hookers.
What he said. He said, it was so funny. He said, I would definitely acknowledge the hookers if I could get past that other stuff.
Well,
we
talked
worse.
About this yesterday, Teresa, but I mean, this whole idea about that this was all about Trump and really had nothing to do with the overall issue, and Comey pointed this out several times in the testimony, had nothing to do with the larger fact that, oh, by the way, the Russians were infiltrating our election process.
Yeah, I think that was a very, very important undercurrent in this discussion, and it was both with Republicans. I got to give Senator Burr, who's the ranking Republican, the yep. chairman of the committee, credit. And right out of the box, his first line of questioning was to get on the record about the Russian involvement in our elections. And throughout the discussion, it was became clear over and over, reiterated over and over, that the director of the FBI met 8 or 9 times with the President of the United States, and never once did they talk about the substance of the problems of the Russians interfering with our elections. It was always about him or about Flynn.
Yes.
And that,
are you investigating me?
Right. That is
can
in
you get
itself
Flynn back in
it may not be criminal, but it is it's negligence.
Okay, so to be fair, let me ask you this. To be fair, did Comey make any mistakes here? The two that we are hearing, you know, the most out is that he got his friend to leak the memos. I'm a great believer in leaking, by the way. I really am, because I don't think Americans can know how to vote or how to act without information. So I don't take. But there are those people who are saying, you see, he's a leaker. This morning we see the lawyer going to the Justice Department Inspector General, trying to bring Comey up on charges for what he did there. And so was that a mistake on his part? And did he make any other major mistakes in his testimony?
But so, Alan, the question that I have is the use of the word leak there. It was they say that the communication is not privileged. And the content, he said, he was actively made sure that the content was not classified. So if you have a document that you own and it's not privileged and it's not classified and you give it to somebody to make public, is that by definition a leak? If you share information that's not privileged and not classified, why what's illegal about that?
Well, first of all, I like what you're saying, and I agree with you. However, there will be others who say otherwise. For example, the President of the United States, right, has the right to, we think, to have proclaimed this whole thing executive privilege.
But he didn't claim privilege. Yesterday,
no,
the hearing
I understand
the day before
that.
Showed that they mushy
you are,
on the privilege
no.
question. Sorry
no,
to
you
interrupt
you. No, it's all right. You're exactly right. He did not claim it. But now, ex post facto, they may go back and say it was privileged. It was executive privilege. They didn't claim it in terms of stopping him. I think that would be the end of all of that. But that may be. I'm trying to anticipate where they're going to go with this and what the lawyer's claim is going to be.
But it's
and by
be...
the way, I found that lawyer to be one obnoxious fellow.
Oh my gosh, and made so many mistakes. But they didn't claim privilege in the hearings the day before with former Senator Coates, you know, with Coates and
yep.
Rogers and those folks. So it's going to be pretty hard when they were asked explicitly, you know, are you going to claim privilege? No, we're going to let them go speak. But then when they were up there, it seemed a little fuzzy. But since they didn't overtly claim privilege the day before, how can they then say that this is privileged communication?
I'll tell you how they can do it. They can do it to muddy the waters. In other words, you're probably right. I have no doubt about it. But they are now on the ropes, and they have got the way that they're trying to get out of this is that Comey is a leaker. And to muddy the waters politically, forget about whether or not anything comes out of it.
Right. I mean, I think they'll say it. And they're going to lie about that and other things as well. And that's like it's just so ridiculous. They say he lied, he lied, he lied. But the parts of the testimony that we liked, he was true.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The part that they exonerated him, they said not exonerated him, but they said that he wasn't under investigation. Okay, that part we liked, so that was true. But the other parts, he was lying.
I realize hypocrisy reigns supreme here, but we can't lose sight of the fact, too, that as has been noted in the past in many other instances, that the person who has leaked more than anyone else is the President of the United States and talking to the Russians and talking to the information that has come out to various press sources of having his people say, no, that didn't happen, that didn't happen, that didn't happen, and then the President is saying, oh, this is what was said. So
the Israel information, for instance.
Exactly. So you do have to wonder, if you're going to go down that argument, you also have to be ready for what other people are going to say. Okay, but then what about this situation? I mean, it does put you into a precarious legal situation, I would think.
Well, Trump has lived his life as a law unto himself. That's the problem.
Yes.
I really love the fact that Jim Comey used the term the nature of the person and talked about, since he could absolutely assess what level of individual he was dealing with, he said, that's why I thought I needed to start taking notes, because he acknowledged and he saw with his keen, you don't have to have keen insight, but I just like the fact that somebody who was the head law enforcement investigations person in the nation, head of the FBI, he said, yeah, I looked at this joker and I knew that I was dealing with somebody who was so ethically and morally corrupt and compromised that I needed to protect myself and protect the nation as a result.
I mean, Alan, again, you've been at this a long time. The notion that the head of the FBI would say the president of the United States is a liar, I mean...
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
What context do you put that in?
Vindication.
The two places that they're going to go.
Hello.
Uh-oh.
That's the President
right.
Trump's
you know
lawyer.
What? You get,
go ahead. Take a break.
No, you get that. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back after this.
Alan here.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. Not surprisingly, we got a ton of letters. So let's get to those. A lot of people writing about what happened yesterday, so we'll get to that. And Alan is here. Barbara Smith is here. Teresa Bourgeois. And we welcome your letters panel at WAMC.org. Of course, talking about the testimony yesterday from former FBI Director James Comey. Brigham says, while everyone was breathlessly following the Comey testimony yesterday, the House voted to repeal Dodd-Frank. We'll talk about that.
Yeah,
it's a big story, and we will talk about it. Trump and the Republicans are masters at pulling this kind of stunt, even as they seem to trip over themselves. I understand that the sexy story now is Comey, but can we please talk about the Republicans in the House pushing a deregulatory bill that will leave us all more vulnerable again with our finances? They have learned nothing from 2008. Denise says, thank you for discussing the questions Comey didn't answer. Would like to applaud Senator Kamala Harris for a line of questions that led to Jeff Sessions' role in all of this.
Yeah, let's get back to that.
Go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I thought was interesting, she was brilliant laying out, you know, she asked him a series of questions which he couldn't answer. But one of the things that she brought out is that Sessions, Attorney General Sessions, has recused himself, but that the director of the FBI never saw a piece of paper about what the terms of the recusal were and what the boundaries, what he was supposed to see, what he wasn't supposed to see. And it really, she shone a light on the fact that the Sessions was involved in his hiring, in Comey's firing, and was that contrary to the terms of the recusal. But stunning the fact that the attorney general, I mean, the head of the FBI didn't see on a piece of paper what the terms of the recusal were, what the parameters of what Sessions could and couldn't see with regard to the Russian investigation. Mm. Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy.
Or calculated, calculated, calculated.
There was that moment in the hearings where James Comey said that he went to Jeff Sessions and said, I can't be left in a room with him, which had been reported in the New York Times the day before. But he said that the body language of Jeff Sessions indicated that there was nothing he could do about it.
Right.
Like, what do you want me to do about it?
Didn't say any words.
And what?
Right.
Dan writes, expanding on Teresa's point, the Republicans are always giving Trump a pass for his unorthodox actions because he's new to this. Well, to be fair, they need to know that those who have to deal with Trump may need to be a bit unorthodox in their responses to Trump, as in Jim Comey providing information about Trump's lies to the New York Times. Christopher writes, I think the focus on McCain has to do with sections of the press searching for a plausible counter-narrative to the worst-case scenario and hoping that a Republican with McCain's reputation could provide it. Republicans are trying mightily to argue that this whole situation is not what it looks like and are failing mightily. Jeff writes, Comey, once a darling to both sides of the aisle, I feel did a fantastic job. Good for him. You know, that brings up a good point, because there were points where I was watching that yesterday and saying, oh, yeah, this is the guy that allegedly lost the election.
Absolutely.
For Hillary.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, some note that he ushered him in and he might be part of ushering him out. I don't know that he's going to be ushered out. But I did think it was interesting that a number of the Democrats did begin by acknowledging that they had deep concerns with him, Senator Wyden and others.
Yes.
However, that they, while they had disagreements, they respected his honesty and his intent.
Alphonse D'Amato said the best thing I have ever heard in politics. He said, when questioned about how he had switched a position. He said, that was that, and this is now. So, you know, that's what happens. In politics, you take your help where you can get it. And if there's a little inconsistency, you make what you can of it.
And you can be upset with some of his decisions, as I certainly am. I'm more troubled by the July press conference than the one in October. But understand that you don't fire an FBI director. I mean, you just don't fire him.
And I think also
when you're being investigated.
And I think also what is viewed as consistency shows that he may not have a huge political agenda. That, you know, if, you know, he kind of calls them as he sees them. I don't know. It's not that I thought that he did favors, any favors to the Clinton campaign by how he handled it. But now here he is standing up.
I don't think he is politically motivated. Mm-hmm. I think he's motivated by this very strict set of parameters, you know, Boy Scout-like parameters of what he sees as the role of the FBI and how you protect that role.
Right.
We're going to take go ahead, Alan.
I was just to say real fast, I have long thought and disagreed with the panel sometimes that Comey is a guy who is, like everybody else, is concerned about his own reputation and what he should do, and sees himself as the prime player in all of this. And I think that accounts for the Hillary stuff as well as for what's going on right now.
We're going to take a quick break. We've got some underwriting to make up. We'll do that. We'll be back. We have a lot more letters, and we'll return right after this. Some beautiful music this morning. Billy Joel, Opus 1 to 10, Fantasy and Delusions, music for solo piano. Richard Jew playing the piano. Beautiful. We have some more letters. I want to get to those. Tom writes, please listen again to Trump's lawyer's comments. He describes the use of hope in a very different context than Comey did during the session yesterday. He changes just one, but it makes the whole comment something very different, creating alternative facts right out of the chute. Mike.
And spelled the word president wrong. I'm sorry. Opening it's, paragraph.
It's the little things.
He spelled the word president wrong.
Mike writes, I've been taking Rosemary's advice and checking out Fox News' take on the Comey hearings. I believe today they had on Corey Lewandowski and later Jeanine Pirro. If you're into conspiracy theories, you would have loved today. Comey is part of the deep state trying to bring down President Trump. Peter writes, in terms of the Comey testimony, what I found, among other things, to be quite significant, something that the media hasn't focused on, was Comey's statement on the significance and sophistication of the Russia hacking, which Comey commented is a threat to our country. And in no time did Trump ask for details about the hacking. What will be done to control it, and what do we need to do in the future to prepare for other similar hacking? The significance of what the Russians are able to do was not a topic that was effectively examined yesterday in the open session with Comey. Alan, we discussed that, but you do have to wonder what's next as far as the infiltration of our elections, especially as we look at midterms next year.
That's right. And if you take a look at the history of this whole thing, Joe, I don't think there's any doubt that the Russians did what they are accused of doing, no matter what Putin or any of his hacks have to say, and that they will try it again, and that they've done it in other countries like France. So we have to be prepared for it. We have obviously one of the greatest group of people who can examine this thing in the world, in this country, and they ought to be doing that. But what I want to know is why Trump has been cooperating with the Russians all along. What's the economic benefit to the Trumps? And as I've been saying again and again, here's a 70-year-old man with grandchildren who for some reason seems to be intent on screwing up the system from our environment to everything else. What is going on?
Yeah, I agree. That's the fundamental question, Alan, that needs to be answered. And something struck me that President Trump yesterday, midday, in the midst of the Comey hearing, went out and gave a speech. And one of the things he talked about, he said, quote unquote, we are under siege, but we're going to come out better than ever. And it just struck me that, in fact, we are as a nation because of this Russian hacking, But that's not what Donald Trump was talking about. He was talking about himself and the under siege that we should all be focused on, that we need to deal with in advance of our next round of elections, is this Russian interference with our elections, both with the hacking and with the disinformation campaigns. Yet his focus, when he says we're under siege, is about himself, not the country.
Let's talk, before we go to another break in a few minutes, Paul Ryan's response yesterday. Speaker Ryan came out and said, look, hey, he's new to this. What do you expect? He's new to this.
Feckless? Hey, just, what's the definition of feckless? Oh, my gosh.
It's like he's new to life on Earth.
I'm sorry. His whole campaign, lock her up. When you cannot in your campaign, when Bill Clinton, husband of Hillary Clinton, talks briefly on the tarmac with Loretta Lynch, and then the Trump campaign goes wild and Trump says, lock her up. He understood at that point what you should and shouldn't say to an attorney general. But then all of a sudden he's forgotten that, and now he's new to this. Well, if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't know the job, then he shouldn't have taken the job. And it's a lie. Ryan told a lie yesterday, and it was disgusting.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
My rage. I'm sorry for ranting.
No. You're appropriate. But I just can't believe that Ryan has underestimated the American people with this kind of nonsense. Here's a guy who clearly wants to be president of the United States, right? So what he's doing is he's putting all his marbles on the defense of Trump, which I think is incredibly stupid of him. So you said, what's the definition of, another word, what's the definition of stupid as far as I'm concerned?
Yeah.
Just
for the definition of feckless, lacking initiative or strength of character, irresponsible. Synonyms being useless, worthless, incompetent, inept, good for nothing.
It's the lack of character, whatever the word is for display of a total lack of character. That's the word I'm after, if anyone knows that one.
Well, I think you got it. I think Veckless got it.
I just found that. So
ding, ding, ding.
I'm in a full rage now, sorry. But I just thought that is not how a leader behaves. You just, you can stand up for your president, but you don't say, well, he just didn't understand the job, when you know full well that he's used that same thing in his campaign against them in an inappropriate way.
I'm about to say something which will tick everybody off.
Oh, good.
Because I'm so calm now.
are you also sure that Bill Clinton was using his mind when he walked across that tarmac? In the midst of all of this stuff, just giving another opportunity for those people to yell, lock her up?
You're saying, was he also compromised? Is that what you're saying?
I think he was talking to an old friend about his grandchild. Maybe I'm naive. But...
Oh, he was going to walk across the tarmac to talk about the grandchild. Look, Hillary was really under attack at the time. It was unfair. It was wrong. And we now know it was nonsense. Nevertheless, it was ruining her campaign. And I have a feeling maybe she was worried, and maybe Bill walked across that tarmac in order to do something which really would redound against them. That's my bet about that. I think I'm not a huge Bill Clinton fan, and I think it was a misplaced activity.
I just want to be clear. Misplaced activity meaning a mistake or a deliberate attack against his own wife's campaign?
Oh, no. Mistake.
Okay. All right.
I have a feeling there was a conversation before that walk.
Okay. One more letter, or two more letters, and then we'll go to another break before the top of the hour. Anthony writes, John McCain has become the poster child for term limits regarding senators and congressmen. Paul writes, it felt scary as I watched what looked like John McCain suffering a stroke and unable to connect the dots. Sad. I hope he seeks help and makes sure nothing is wrong. And Doug writes, I think Joe is right. There are no tapes. Trump is bluffing. If there were tapes, Trump wouldn't tell us because he'd know they would show that Comey is accurate. Well, the other question is, if there were tapes, are there still tapes?
That's my question.
The question is, what else is on
that's
the tapes?
That's really my question.
And why didn't they answer this question yesterday when asked Huckabee Sanderson? She was asked, and she said, oh, well, I'll go look under the couch.
First of all, come on.
That was an annoying response,
I thought. Oh, come on. And let me tell you something. There are tapes. That's why he raised it. He thought he could have it both ways. He could say, you know I have tapes, and I know I have tapes, and I can do and what I want. But he forgot Nixon. Somebody's going to come along and say either he has them or he had them, he has them or he destroyed them. I'm telling you, there were tapes.
But first of all, you know, the White House said that the lawyers were going to take the questions. So she took that question. She didn't say that's a question for the lawyers. And then she made fun of it. It's a fundamental question now that needs to be answered. And you don't answer it in a joking way, something that this is a serious.
And we got to go to a break. But whether there were tapes or not, here again, let us point back to the leaking part. We wouldn't have even be talking about this if the president didn't tweet it.
Right.
And that's the only reason he brought it up.
And we wouldn't have talked about any of this if he hadn't fired Comey, which Jared Kushner thought was a good idea.
All right.
Absolutely.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Dorset Theater Festival, presenting Downstairs by Teresa Rebeck, a family drama starring Tim and Tyne Daly, June 22nd through July 8th. DorsetTheaterFestival.org for tickets. Belvedere Home Care, providing home care services, including home health aides and nurses, and offering in-home assessments, bringing care home since 2001. BelvedereHomeCare.com. Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts, and service to customers throughout western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com. Studio Herbage, a contemporary floral design studio in historic downtown Johnstown, New York. Local and long-distance delivery, StudioHerbageFlorist.com. And Edgar Bosick, Certified Financial Planner, Havoc and Wealth Strategies, serving western Massachusetts, providing customized financial retirement strategies for those approaching or in retirement. HavocandWealthStrategies.com.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. Alan Chartok, Barbara Smith, and Teresa Bourgeois this morning. And let's go to some more letters. We've got a lot of letters this morning, so I'm just going to try to get to go through them quickly here as we go to the top of the hour. So then in our next half hour, we can move on to other subjects. Samantha writes, Comey totally threw Loretta Lynch under the bus and the news media as well. New York Times in particular, it makes you think that literally no one can be trusted. The Times, I thought, did an interesting job trying to defend themselves in their story and saying that most of the people are on their side.
Right, they pushed back pretty hard.
They did. Steve gives Alan credit for an Alphonse D'Amato reference. He likes that. Jeff says a great quote in the Washington Post about Comey's discomfort with Trump. The first time he met Trump, he got the heebie-jeebies. Teresa says, so everyone knows John McCain has days like he did yesterday. I don't think the voters knew that when he ran for president. It seems to me this is relevant information that we should have had.
I mean, I think he's 80 years old. He had a bad day. I think we should hope the best for his health.
Zach writes, good morning, panel. Jeremy Corbyn, an unabashed socialist, forced a hung parliament in the UK despite monumental opposition from the media and his own party lines. Let this be a lesson to US Democrats. A left message can win widespread popular support. We're, of course, going to be talking about the UK elections after the top of the hour. Sean says, what about the truth revealed in Russia hacking of the DNC, cheating and sabotage of the primary? Well, that doesn't seem to be the main focus of concern right now, does it?
No. And, you know, I was listening to the radio yesterday and, oh, my God, just blanked on his name.
Rush Limbaugh?
Rush Limbaugh ranting and raving that this whole Russian thing is a hoax, just like climate change is a hoax. And that's really dangerous for the country. There is broad agreement that the Russians hacked our election, except for the president and Rush Limbaugh seem to not agree. And it's something we need to focus a lot of our attention on.
Rush Limbaugh, of course, is now number two after the other guy, whoever he is.
Sean Hannity?
And so, yeah. And so so it's extraordinary to me that we don't fully understand that in order for a guy like that to exist, he has to throw more and more red meat or vermin to the base, because otherwise he he goes down in the group. I mean, I just don't believe we ought to be paying a lot of attention to that guy once we know what he's all about.
But we have to be aware that a lot of people are listening. That's where they get their news. That's where they get their information. And we wonder why people are confused. It's because, you know, they're riding around in a car going from here to there, as I was yesterday. And if they tune in, that's what they hear. And that's what they believe. It's not that they're stupid. That's the information. And he's feeding people wrong information. The other line they're talking about is that Comey entrapped the president, which I thought was a fascinating line of thinking.
Bob writes, I think, a great letter about Paul Ryan. And then, hey, he's new to this. He says, the things you don't know when you're new to a job are, like, where is the closest bathroom and where can you go have a cigarette?
There you go. Yeah, Thank you.
Not like, oh, can I talk to the FBI director? All right. Comey, Carol writes, so my question is, does James Comey face any charges? If so, what kind as a result of his testimony yesterday? I think we touched on that, but...
Face charges?
Meaning that they are looking at leaking and lawyering this.
Right. I don't call what he, in giving that document, I don't know that there's a legal issue about leaking for him there. I'm not a lawyer, but leaking has to be classified or privileged. And if it's neither classified nor privileged, then what's the reason why he couldn't provide it?
A point you've made, and Joe got a letter to Joe from Jeff, who said, shut coffee out of my nose. Joe Donahue, colon, the real question is, if there were tapes, are there still tapes? Hilariously delivered, sir. And at the same time, a succinctly stated imperative from Jeff.
Coffee with a little kofifi.
Yeah. that apparently was the big thing in the Washington bars yesterday, that you could go and watch it, and then they were having kofifi cocktails. Which apparently is, and I'm looking at Ray for this, is apparently orange.
Orange. It's got
orange Fanta. With like orange soda with vodka.
Really?
Yes. Don't forget it was at 10 o'clock in the morning.
So can I be my hokey self for just a minute?
We love when you're your hokey
I self. I just thought, what an amazing display of democracy yesterday when all of these people were gathered in all over the country together watching democracy unfold.
Getting blasted. I mean, it's all good.
No, there was just something. I mean, even in offices that I was very busy going from place to place, I saw people with their earbuds on listening. There was just something I thought wonderful about the participation in our democracy yesterday.
We are going to participate in our democracy and hear Ray Graff give a newscast, and we will be back with more. We will continue right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Friday morning. It is the 9th of June, 7 minutes after 10 o'clock, and we have a lot of great panelists on the program. Alan Chartok, Barbara Smith, and Teresa Bourgeois. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your letters as well. Panel@wamc.org. I do want to touch, obviously, the big news yesterday was Jim Comey here in the States, but I do want to make sure that we talk about the UK election and what happened yesterday. Theresa May lose overall majority in the UK Parliament. This comes after the snap election that was held, which seems to be, you know, also really bad timing in the whole idea. But seeks to stay in power. She had a meeting this morning with the Queen, and we'll see now where we go. She's calling for stability, but the election certainly leaves the UK split and confused. I believe right now the numbers that I have of the seats, Conservative Party has 318, Labour Party 261, and the Conservative Party will now try to form a minority government with help from a party in Northern Ireland. Don't forget, this was a gamble, ultimately, to hold a snap election, hoping to shore up that conservative base, which backfired mightily. And I guess that's one of the downsides, Alan, of when you say, okay, let's have a snap election.
Without question. Look, first of all, there are a number of things here. One of them is the potential for buyer's remorse on Brexit.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of confusion. People wanted it. They didn't want it. Some people in the boonies were unhappy with it. The people in London were not unhappy with the European Union. And so you get this reaction, which is, well, maybe we made a mistake, since we know she's looking for confirmation for the Brexit strategy, which she didn't get. What it all proves to me is that the Brits are standing, are confused. They are confused as to what they want and what's good for them. And this has really hurt May and her cause.
And it's a real, as we look at just 2 weeks ago and the president's trip to Europe, and we see a very divided Europe, especially as relations become increasingly frayed with the United States. And now we look at one country as a microcosm and see how split and divided they are as well, which, of course, could be said about our country as well.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you're right, Joe. Of course you're right that we're split, but we're not split down the middle.
No.
I mean, if you look at Trump's numbers, they are terrible for any American president ever. And I think they're the lowest. So and they're going down. So but there, I think they just don't know. I think they just don't know what's good for them. And to the EU's credit, they have in fact stood tall, and they have said, "Look, you can go, but we're not going to make it easy for you here." And there are people there who are going to get hurt as a result of that policy. Now you get people like Scotland, as I remember it, and Theresa, as our policy wonk, you'll know this. Scotch people are not, in fact, happy about this. They want to stay in.
Right. And now, and I, as somebody wrote last night, that I don't know enough about soccer or British politics, and I'm in that category. I have this.
What?
I don't understand soccer, and I don't understand British politics. But so this all raises more questions for me, and I wonder if we have any Brits who are listening who could write in. But Alan, you may know the question. I mean, can they back out of the Brexit vote? I mean, certainly, as I understand from what I've read, they're very weakened now. Theresa May, even if she survives this, in her discussions on Brexit, will be in a very weakened position. But I did hear that a Scotland vote, those people who were anti-Brexit, did not do so well in the election yesterday. So I'm not sure. Now, that's a little murky as well.
You bet.
But what does this all signal for the European Union?
So your first question is correct. Can they back out? They have to go forward and do it before they have to back out, right? I mean, that's one of their problems. They have until a certain time. They've really got to do it. I think they can back out, and I think a lot of people would be delighted.
I wonder what
including
that process.
This.
Yeah, is there a process that they could have another vote on Brexit? Can they vote again on Brexit?
How would that work with such a fractured government?
Well, Barbara, I think that the answer on that one, not being an expert myself, although I did 40 years ago teach a comparative politics course.
I wish I had taken that.
But I was at least one chapter ahead of the kids. But I can tell you that if they want to, they could do it. See, I think the potential here is for a double, quadruple, triple fake out. Because you may remember the Conservatives were not for getting out, right? Mm. That's why a prime minister lost his office. Theresa May comes in. She says, no, we're going to go with the fractured vote, which was very close. We're going to go with the fractured vote, and we're going to stay with it.
And we're going to take a hard line position. She said we're taking a hard line position
right
on this.
So you know what? I had the feeling that maybe they secretly wanted it, but that they couldn't say so, some of the conservative element in the country. Again, you know, we've been playing these games all along with Trump. Did he do it on? Is he stupid? But is he a genius who has figured out how to do this? the stock market, right? I want to just mention this now.
I don't get what's going on.
The stock market has gone up 3 days in a row, right? In the middle of Trump's defrocking. Now, you wonder, since we know the market likes stability, like the Trump election, the market shut up afterwards. Now Trump is in trouble, and the market is going up again. And I'm wondering what that's all about. Maybe somebody knows better than I.
I wrote that question down last night. What's going on with the market? Is it because Dodd-Frank passed in the House?
Yes.
Is that what counterbalanced? Or, you know, this is a little weird, but is it because they're getting more and more worried about Trump and what he'll do to the economy? And so the notion that slowing things down is good for the market, that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know what's going on. I'm fascinated by what's going on with the market, but will it continue today after this?
Well, it's already up 60 points today.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
So
what's going on with the market?
But just to be clear about Dodd-Frank, is it the passage of Dodd-Frank? You mean, is it the passage of the gutting of Dodd-Frank?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't. That was.
I just. You know,
I. Thank you. That was inelegant at best.
You are always elegant. Always.
No, that was wrong. But the Dodd-Frank rules, the House passed legislation yesterday to weaken key components of the so-called Dodd-Frank bill, and which the market would like that, although they say that it'll be very tough to get these through the Senate.
The Dow currently is up 77 points. The president is expected to speak with Romania's president. He's having he will have a news availability with Romania's president today coming up at 2:45. So I don't know how much he'll be talking about what happened yesterday, but that seems to be a mixed bag as when he takes questions and when he doesn't.
What do you think they'll feed him for lunch?
Well, two scoops of ice cream for him and one for the other person. And
goulash is the answer. Goulash.
Okay.
Melania's moving down to D.C., I read today.
Really?
Yes. Well, the school is out. So there we go. You gave a look like you don't believe that story. Okay.
I just want to know when they're going to reimburse the government for the costs. I just, you know.
Well, keep waiting. All right, let's go to some other stuff, which is happening. I do want to. I think we're done on.
Can we ask if anybody writes in tells us what's going on with the markets? I really want to know that, Alan, too. Anybody listening is a market person. Write in, tell us what's going on with the markets.
Meaning, why is the market going up?
You would have thought yesterday that the market would have gone down.
Unless there was that feeling of like maybe we're going to finally get out of this madness. It's interesting, don't you think?
Yes, that's right.
Is the market changing? That's what I wondered last night. Is the market changing its calculation on how valuable the Trump administration is to them? Are they beginning to look at the long term, thinking about, you know, some of the stuff that he's doing on trade and the fact that he may not get a tax bill through? I really, you know, of course, I can't be on the show without mentioning the word health care. And I'm really worried that, they're really trying to push the health bill through next week, although it was delayed yesterday, sending it to the CBO to be scored. They can't bring it up in the Senate until it has a Congressional Budget Office score. But, they're changing their calculation. I don't understand it. That's why I'd love to have somebody write in who's an expert in the markets tell us what they think.
Whose version of the health bill? Because I thought they had already scored the
House version.
Right.
So the Senate, in secret, a group of Senate Republicans with no public hearings, have developed a bill. They are stuck on two things, as I read right now, what the Medicaid changes will be. Mm-hmm. And then there's a arcane provision that might trigger something called the Byrd Rule, which would not allow them to do it on a 50 vote. They'd have to go for 60 votes. But they, even though on the House side, they can go through and have a vote without getting a CBO score, on the Senate side you can't. So it was supposed to be sent to the CBO yesterday so it would get a score back in time to vote on it before the July 4th recess. They want to pass it.
I have to read a letter, a very important letter that has come in right now, and that is the point. We have heard from Davin, who says goulash is Hungarian, not Romanian.
Thank you, Davin.
Yes. Okay, so
Romanians tell us what they should be serving.
I still like Barbara's answer about the chocolate cake.
No, ice cream.
Ice cream, that's right. Two scoops of, and the best chocolate cake, right? That was the other thing. The
best chocolate cake ever. Well, we know where they could buy the best chocolate cake ever, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mar-a-Lago, of course.
No, I was thinking the wonderful chocolate cake.
Oh, you mean in reality.
In reality, what's the name of it?
Now, Krishan, yeah.
Krishan, yeah. Oh, wow.
Now,
I'm allergic, and I liked it.
When we...
I just looking at it was pretty.
When we last met, our good friend, wink, wink, Representative Jason Chaffetz of Utah was resigning at the end of this month to pursue a private sector career. Then you said, oh, well, then who's going to take over as chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee? Well... Uh-oh. We have found now that the House Republican Steering Committee voted Thursday to hand the gavel to, wait for it, Representative Trey Gowdy of South Carolina. You know, the controversial congressman who led the 2-year investigation into the 2012 terrorist attacks on a U.S. diplomatic outpost and nearby CIA site in Benghazi, Libya. So it seems like he's a natural for the job, yes?
Holy moly.
Wow, we've gone to that level of political science and commentary.
Alan, anything other than holy moly from you?
No, well, it's clear that he is going to provide cover for the president. This guy who thought he could do a terrific job destroying Hillary is now going to have to play, as they say in football, defense. For the White House, and he will. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. Does anybody else think anything else?
Well, here's what Paul Ryan thinks. He said, Trey Gowdy possesses the experience and deep commitment to transparency and accountability necessary to be the House's next oversight chairman. He has proven that he will always look out for taxpayers and seek answers from the bureaucracy. Trey has my absolute confidence, and I know he will do an outstanding job.
For Donald Trump.
Oh, brother.
That's the part that he left out of that sentence.
You know, think about Ryan.
The feckless Ryan. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, feckless. Think about Ryan for a minute. He was a guy, a lot of people liked him.
Not me.
Nobody really knew what to make of him. But a lot of people really liked him. They thought that he was, on the fence, that he could be counted on to be an honest broker. He's ruined all of that. And that was what he was going to ride to be president of the United States.
Well, I think he's trying to thread the needle because he still wants to be president of the United States, and he does not want to lose the Trump base at the same time.
Yep.
And you know, he wants to do as much as he can to pass legislation and so that he can lay the groundwork to be president. And if the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, was on its toes, they would be finding a moderate Democrat in his district to go after him right now. And I don't mean go after him, I mean to campaign day in and day out against him and keep him focused there. But Trey Gowdy leading the House Intelligence Committee is really it's not surprising, but it is unfortunate because he was so political. I mean, I'll go back to Senator Burr of North Carolina, Republican of North Carolina yesterday. He definitely put country before party. They are handling this committee action in a way that is, you know, very respectable, not overly partisan. It's not that partisanship doesn't creep in on both sides, but he seems to be doing the best he can to do it together. And Gowdy, based on his experience, provides no evidence so far that he will do that. And you just have to wonder, is he going to pursue these similar questions with the same amount of zeal, you know, questions about the Republican behavior, the president's behavior, as he did about President Obama and Secretary Clinton? And I think the answer is
definitively no.
Right.
It's not.
And really, again, let's go back to the fundamental problem here. We have some serious questions that need to be addressed about the Russian involvement in the U.S. election system. And the House and Senate Investigation Committee should be looking into that. And not clear that he will be doing
it. It's just a level of corruption and dysfunction that is hard to imagine. It really is, because we're talking about the basic functions of democracy being not just up for grabs, but seemingly abandoned because of this incredible political agenda.
The other thing that struck me is I was reminded that he's only been
about 30 seconds. But go ahead.
Only been in Congress since 2010, 7 years. So the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, only 7 years of experience in Congress. That reminds us how new these members of Congress are. It's a really young Congress,
but
not young in age, but young in experience.
Let's remember that the House is an oligarchy under one guy who really makes the decisions, and the Senate is much more of a democratic institution, Smolty. It's that simple.
In the midst of all of this, a lot of legislation is moving through, and we really need to be paying attention to what they're doing legislatively.
We are out of time. My thanks to, as my voice starts to crack.
thinking about Paul Ryan.
No, I think it's puberty, and can't wait for the growth spurt. Quite frankly, we are out of time. My thanks to our panel: Alan Chartok, Barbara Smith, and Teresa Bourgeois. Thank you for your letters, and we will continue the program after this.